Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino and I have a very special guest on the show today. Her name is Jillian Bell, who many of you might know from movies like 22 Jump Street, Inherit Vice, Goosebumps, Rough Night, Office Christmas Party, The Night Before, so many movies. She's going to be in the new Bill and Ted's movie next year. You also might recognize her from TV, of course, from Workaholics and Idiot Sitter on Comedy Central. She was in Eastbound and Down and one of the most memorable episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm ever. She's amazing, and this week she stars in a new movie called Brittany Runs a Marathon. She was kind enough to invite me to the premiere, and I was blown away. I'm not just saying that. I thought it was an amazing movie, truly my favorite movie that I've seen this year. I thought it was inspirational. It was sad at moments. It was happy at moments. I laughed so hard. I cried so hard. I encourage everyone to go see it. I promise it's good. I'm not just bullshitting. I'm not just saying that. It was like legit my favorite movie I've seen this year. And I was so excited to sit down and chat with her about it because I was just incredibly moved. This movie premiered at Sundance, and now it's going to be in theaters all over the place. So this weekend or in the upcoming week, go check it out. I promise you will not be disappointed. I found it just so compelling and amazing. And Jillian's great in everything she does, so I'm super excited to chat with her. Before I play my interview with her, I want to also encourage you to check out her clothing line. It's called Neon Witch. It's got a great message behind all of it, so check it out online. Great clothes. Fantastic. I want to encourage you all to follow me on social media, at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, it's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. If you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. You can click Become a Patron, and for $4 or more per month, you get access to all of the bonus episodes. And more importantly, you're just helping support this podcast. So I'm doing one bonus episode a month. And I appreciate all of you that are pledging money over there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you want one of the Everything Iconic t-shirts, go to everythingiconic.threadless.com. All of these links will be in the episode description. So without further ado, again, you guys have got to go see this. I promise you'll like it. Jillian and I talk about the movie, and then we also just go and talk about all sorts of pop culture stuff. Talk a little bit about Nintendo, old movies, Sister Act. We talk about it all. So I want you to enjoy my chat with her. Before I get into that chat, I'm going to play a little clip from the trailer of the movie, but go see it. I know you guys are probably thinking you're just saying that, but I promise I'm not saying that. I wouldn't just steer you wrong. It's good. It's legit good. I'm like telling everyone. I was just at the grocery store the other day and I was checking out and I told the checkout woman, I was like, you have got to go see Brittany Runs a Marathon. I'm like a crazy person telling everyone about it, but I loved it that much. So please enjoy my chat with Jillian Bell.
50,000 people from around the world are racing today.
I want to run the New York City Marathon.
I think that is such a good idea.
That's a bad omen.
Hold it! Hold it!
My whole life, the world told me I was lazy because the way I looked.
I was trying to turn my life around.
Everything's going to be fine.
People help doors for me.
I'll hold doors for you. This is my
last hurrah. You changing your life was never about your weight.
Hold it, please!
About you taking responsibility for yourself.
Jillian, how are you doing today?
I am so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. You were so kind to invite me to the premiere of Brittany Runs a Marathon.
I thought it might be your jam.
It was 100% my jam. Like, I literally, I cried so many times. Aww. Throughout for various reasons, too. Like, it was like sad tears, happy tears.
Yeah.
There was one moment, I mean, a few moments, but one in particular that like really struck me as emotional, one of your co-stars, is it Micah?
Yeah, Micah Stock.
So his character in the film, he's a gay man and he has kids and he's just in a happy, normal relationship.
Yes.
Which is a weird thing to cry about. But it was like the first time I saw his kids on screen, the character's kids, I just started like bawling.
You know, a lot of people have been talking to us about that. And I think it's so important, you know, Paul, who wrote and directed it, he was just like, why don't we see more characters, gay characters that are just happy and in a great relationship and hoping, you know, have a kid and hoping for another one. And I was just like, this is such a beautiful thing. And it is so sad that that's rare in film.
And I didn't even think it was rare until I see it. And then I'm like crying about it. I'm like, what am I crying for? And then I realized, I was like, oh, we never see this on screen. Explain the movie a little bit, though, to people who haven't.
The movie is based on a real woman's story, Brittany O'Neill, and the writer-director Paul sort of wrote it as like a love letter to her life because she's so inspirational. She was in a place where she felt stuck, and she decided to set a goal, very epic goal, of running the New York City Marathon.
Right. And was it a hard balance or a hard line? Because I almost went into the movie expecting there to be like a moment that would be offensive, and there was no moment.
That's good. We worked very hard on that just to make sure, you know, that's why Paul fought to be the director of the film is because he wrote it and he just didn't want any one line or one look to be played a different way than what he imagined. And I was very protective of the character and the story we were trying to tell. Once I read it, I wanted to make sure this person's intentions were the same because I laughed and I cried and I related to her. And I also thought, you know, I've never seen a story like this before. I've never, this is usually the sidekick and stuff. And they motivate the lead to go off and live her life. And then we never see that character again, or she comes in and says something funny and that's it.
Yeah.
So this is a very different telling of that kind of character.
And also wildly funny. Like there was so much humor in it throughout. It was hysterical. I loved it so much. How did it come to you?
My manager sent it to me and she said, I know you're looking for something different right now. And, I love playing very odd women. I like to play them a lot, but I was also like, what else is out there?
Thank you.
But I was like, well, let's change it up a little bit and see what else is out there. And this script came her way and she just thought, you're going to read this and be a little terrified of what it's about. And then you're going to keep reading and fall in love with it. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Did you guys go through every line? I mean, you mentioned the director. Yeah.
We had daily conversations. This is the first film that I was attached to 7 months before we even started shooting it. And so Paul was very open and down to go through everything. And we just wanted to make sure we were saying the same thing because the themes of the film are so beautiful and anything could be slightly offensive. So we wanted to stay on top of that. And fingers crossed, we're hoping we did it right.
Were you exhausted every day going home, like both physically and emotionally? Because there's also a lot of heavy acting in it, too.
Yeah.
But then you're also doing all this running. Did you just leave set every day and just crash?
I would like eat a little bit of something and then I would take a shower and then with wet hair, just pass out on the pillow.
Yeah,
because I'm in every scene of this film, by the way, too. So it's like, not like, oh, I can come in late today. I'm not in the first few scenes. Right. So it was a lot, but I loved it.
Yeah. Did you talk about the running prep? I know everyone's asking you this as you're going in all these interviews, but how much running were you doing?
I was doing a lot of running. I've never been a runner before.
Yeah.
So I looked up on Pinterest. I was like, couch to 5K. How do I do this?
Yeah.
And just started doing it on my own because I didn't want a trainer immediately. I wanted to sort of see how tough it is to just begin those first steps because that's what the film was about. And so I did that on my own and I had my sister tape me doing runs and I kind of just watched what I was doing wrong and what I ended up doing right. And just holding on to those and having conversations with Paul and saying, oh, maybe this might be funny or, you know, this is what I did on my first run and I wore the wrong shoes and all that. And, and then I was running a lot more. I got a trainer eventually. And then I ended up deciding I wanted to lose the same amount of weight she loses in the film. So I lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
And it was important to me because there were certain parts in the script that I thought, oh my gosh, this is written about me. Like I relate to it so much. And then there were other parts that I didn't understand what was happening to her. And it's because I've never been through it physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it would help me. It would inform me a lot about the character.
It's so funny that you say it felt like me because I felt that way watching it too. And I'm surprised there's probably so many people that are seeing it and coming up to you and saying that felt like me on screen.
Yeah. And it could be the smallest scene, like some part of the doctor's office scene. Mm-hmm. Someone says, oh, that reminds me of something I went through, or when she rejects people who want good things for her. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be the smallest thing, but it's such a huge compliment that people are resonating with it.
You mentioned your sister, and she's here, and I met her at the premiere, and she's so lovely.
She loves your show, by the way.
Oh my God, I love her too.
But she is obsessed with the Housewives.
Oh my God, we have to talk about the Housewives after this.
She does a very good Dorit. She's going to be so mad that I called her.
But I also recognize your sister from the Today Show because you co-hosted, and I saw her. I'm a huge fan of the fourth hour of Today.
Oh, it's the best hour.
What was the vibe like when you were doing the Today Show? And was Kathy Lee Gifford's ghost just haunting the hallways?
just hovering with a large glass of white wine.
I'm so curious if they like got rid of all traces of Kathy Lee or if it's still like in the hallways. Like that's what I need to know. Like everything.
I don't know if I saw. I'm sure there's images of her, but I don't remember seeing anything.
Yeah. They took it all down.
So you're saying they took it all down. There's a Kathy Lee room.
Oh, my dream room.
And when you open it, it says
everyone has a story. My favorite
song.
It's
like a doorbell.
No,
I got there. I was so nervous. I didn't sleep the night before. Sure. Not a wink.
How could you?
How could I?
Yeah.
My sister and I ordered room service and I like took a bite of salmon and I go, no, nothing can happen tonight.
It's not going in. It might be going out.
Anything's just going out. So fun fact, you guys. So I got there and I had all these notes because they give you a packet of all the stuff you need to know. And it's not just like who we're interviewing that day. It's like one of our segments was on adult acne and they went through every single product and what it does. And I was like, do I need to remember all of this? Or what, is this just a heads up? And it was more of a heads up. But I got into... They have like a hair and makeup room and they were like, the producers are going to prep you for everything you need to know before the show. And I walked in and they applauded. They were so sweet. It's such a fun vibe there. And everyone's like, so here's what we're going to do. But if you want to do anything else, just throw it at the wall.
Yeah,
like,
just do it.
And then I got out there and I didn't get to meet my co-host until I walked out.
Oh my God.
Dylan, and she's lovely. And you just run from thing to thing. And the thing I was the most nervous about was the teleprompters.
Yeah.
Because I'm not great with teleprompters. And I also don't want to be like, hey, here's a funny story. And then be like, coming up next. Yeah, and put on a news reporter
voice. A huge transition shift. Yeah.
I'm like, adult acne. And how you can avoid it?
Oh my God.
But yeah, it was actually
a lot of fun time. Would you ever want to do any hosting like that? Like down the road, did you ever think a talk show would be fun or anything like that? Or you prefer that?
It probably would be. I feel a little less scared now that I've done the Today Show.
Sure.
But I still would be pretty nervous.
Well, now you've peaked. I mean, what else? Where else is there to go?
No, nowhere else.
Yeah.
The fourth hour of the Today Show. That's it.
I mean, I miss Kathy Lee terribly, but I still love that show. It's the most bizarre show. I mean, I've watched it for years because it's just so bizarre. Like you said, there's so many different things that they're talking
about.
There's
so many. And you're moving so quickly. Like, I think they have my friends that was there, she was like, I love watching when they're walking through a segment. Like they had one of like back to school items and it's a race to see if they can get all 80 of the items out. And by the end, they're just like, and here's children with shoes on.
This is total aside, but when Kathy Lee used to host, she would just randomly stop for like a prayer to do a prayer verse or something. She'd be talking about, I don't know, they'd have someone on showing like different kinds of like coffee mugs or something.
Yes.
And then she would just randomly start giving a scripture. It's just like the most bizarre shift, but it was amazing to watch.
Oh, man.
Now, I know you a little bit from the Groundlings. I used to see you there when I was going through like the school program and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder, did you get to do like some improv stuff on Brittany Runs a Marathon or was it all completely scripted?
We stuck to the script more than I have with any other project. Mm-hmm. This was one that I think I was a little nervous to veer away from it because the words were what made me want to do it.
Right.
And so to go too far left would feel wrong. We had like a couple of scenes, like the scene where in the beginning where I'm taking theater ticket stuff. We made up a lot of that stuff on the spot.
Your character also got to be an asshole.
Yeah.
In the best way. And I find that most of the time when you see movies, it's like the character. I saw Drew Drogi after the show and we were talking about how great it was to see that character be mean sometimes.
Yeah,
because
have
we're
flaws.
All mean a lot of, not all the, all the time.
But it's interesting because especially in those type of movies, you don't usually see like Rudy like doing something that makes him look like a monster. And then you're actually, it's a credit to Paul too, the writer, because we then have to root for her quickly after she's a monster. And I just thought that was different and interesting. And it also shows that she hasn't worked on her insides, because a lot of times we see these movies and people lose weight and then their lives are perfect and they have no internal struggle with what happens when you change your body physically. And I just think that's very false.
Totally. I mean, when you're deprived of carbs, like I used to be very overweight as a kid, and it was like, I remember I had to go through, my parents like literally put me through this program because I was very unhealthy. And I remember being so emotional, because as you're adjusting and as you're eating differently and working out differently, it's like all of your hormones are adjusting and you become an asshole a lot of the times.
Right. A lot of times, like when I lost weight, I actually started judging myself more and comparing myself to different people. And, you know, am I bigger? Am I smaller than? And I was like, I don't like this. I don't like who this is. So I actually thought it was good to, after I finished, gain a little bit of weight back, because I was just like, now I want to figure out how I'm happiest. Yeah.
What's your relationship like with it now? I mean,
it's up and down, you know, it's a difficult relationship. I think it's the hardest relationship we're in that most people don't talk about.
Totally.
I think it's, you know, I try to be really good to it now. Ever since I shot this movie too, I was like, what have I been saying about myself or saying before I think someone's going to say to me? And I'm just going to not do that anymore. But it's still hard.
It's hard. It becomes an obsession. I mean, one of my struggles is that I obsess over it. And so when I'm trying to lose weight, it's like I don't have a middle ground.
No, there's either you're eating what you want and you feel pretty good, or you're almost depriving yourself sometimes and then you feel awful, but you fit into clothes. It's a very disturbing thing.
Yeah, it's a weird relationship to have. Yeah. You also filmed a couple scenes at the marathon, is that right?
Yes.
So how do they normally let that happen?
That's no, this is thing. The first film that wasn't a documentary to film in the New York City Marathon.
So they were just cool with it. I mean,
I think it took some negotiating and talking, but they definitely were on board once they read the script.
My best friend Jillian, she runs marathons, and after
it
could be, but she, after the movie, I was like, I need to send her a bouquet of flowers, because I felt like I was so proud of her after, which is such a weird thing, right?
But no, it's a huge accomplishment.
I was like, oh my God, I don't think I was as proud as I should have been when she was like running the marathon, because I was just like watching that movie.
That's and it so was just sweet, so though. I'm sure she would appreciate that.
Do you have Did you talk to people who were like marathon runners?
I mean, I did, not like seeking people out to do research, but I did talk to a few people that had run it, and just what an accomplishment it is. And then being there in New York, watching people run the marathon was unbelievable. Yeah. We had such a small crew. Like, we didn't even have a sound guy that day.
Oh my God.
So we had six people. That was including me and the director. So there's four other people with us, and we were just grabbing equipment and running from place to place, and just, it felt like we were putting on a play.
That's,
you know,
fun though, right?
It was really fun. It was really fun. But being around all these people who have all decided to set the same huge goal for themselves, we were all weeping.
On social media, there's this hashtag for the movie, What's Your Marathon? I think it's like hashtag What's Your Marathon?
Yes.
Is there a new goal that you have right now, or is there a goal that you're working on? Maybe another movie or anything. What's your...
Yeah, I do have a goal. I'm writing...
What's your marathon?
I'm writing a film right now that I think you would love. Off air, I will tell you a little bit more about it.
Do.
But I think you would love it. It's very... It's female friendly.
I love a female friendly. That's all I want to see.
That's
actually
all, right? Yeah. Well, I think we have a lot of the same movie references, by the way. Like growing up, First Wives Club and Baby Boom. And
is there anything better than First Wives Club?
No.
Like, there's nothing better.
There isn't anything better. Those three women were at their...
Phenomenal.
I mean...
And the supporting cast, Sarah Jessica Parker, Maggie Smith. I mean, it's like every performance in that movie is fantastic.
Every once in a while, my friend and I will send each other the clip of Sarah Jessica Parker looking at Bette Midler and going, maybe they have this in your size.
Yeah, the way she's...
Your size. Her read on that line is unreal.
I know. I love that movie so much.
I love it.
I love any sort of female. I was going to ask you later, do you think men can be funny? Because that was like in my lightning round. Because,
women
always used to get that question. It's like, I don't find men funny anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. I only like women now. And also your work. Tell me about Splash. Because I'm also, the one man I am obsessed with is Channing Tatum.
Oh, you should be.
Yeah.
Women, men, everyone love him. Mm-hmm. I mean,
tell me about him.
He's perfect. He's wonderful. He's such a real human being. And like, so charming and lovely, and he's just a good guy. So we're working on that right now. Someone's writing it.
A splash reboot.
A splash reboot. And
where he would play the merman.
Yes. And I play Tom Hanks's part.
I need that so bad, Joy.
I need it too.
I need it right now in my veins.
I know.
Also, I was just talking to a friend about Channing's, like, the Sony hack. Do you remember the Sony hack?
Oh, right.
There was, like, some of his emails leaked, and they're the most pure, wonderful.
Weren't they just like, woo! Like,
I don't know if it was for 21 or you were in 22 Jump Street, but yes. It was like, amazing opening weekend. And there was like a million exclamation points. It was just like, oh, that's
everyone, exactly.
All the other leaked emails were these horrendous.
I know. It was just things. Awful. People saying awful things awful that they regretted. Things. And his was just like, wowie woozy.
I was like, wow, that was when I really turned in love yes. with him. And I was like, okay. I love
he
him.
Did. He did an episode of the show that I wrote, Idiot Sitter
yeah.
with my friend Charlotte. And he had a temperature of like 103 and still came and did it. And we immediately put him in like clothes from like David Bowie in the labyrinth. And he was just sweating through it. And I'm like, you're a trooper.
What a gem.
Yeah.
And gorgeous too. I mean, Magic Mike, that scene in Magic Mike is forever ingrained in my head.
You know what's funny? I hadn't seen Magic Mike 2 the first few weeks that it opened. So
how dare you?
Because I was in a different country. Okay. And I came back and I had a meeting with him being like, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to go. And he's like, well, do you want me to go with you? And I was like, maybe. I didn't take him up on it. I don't know why. Something in my gut told me. I got there and I watched the movie. And if he had been there, first of all, everyone around me would have been losing their damn minds. Right. But also I was letting out these guttural screams like, like when all of them would take off their shirts in a way that I did not expect.
Right. I saw the first one at the Dome at the Arclight, you know?
Yes.
And Channing and Joe Manganiello and Adam, I can't even think of his last name. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, all the cast members came in and they had like thongs over their jeans.
No.
Yeah, they had thongs over their jeans. And I was seated in the way back with like a group of friends. And Jillian, when I tell you, it was like I was at an NSYNC concert. Like I ran down and I thought I had just assumed I was like so caught up in the moment that I assumed like my whole group was like running towards the front.
You ran alone?
I was
alone?
The only one.
No.
I swear to God. I was the only one like, and I get to the front and I'm realizing like, oh, people aren't rushing the stage. Like it was not a, it was not
a concert.
And so
you concert. Stopped and then kind of asked for popcorn from someone and turned around? No, you just stood there.
Just stood in front. Like I was like my own with my camera phone or whatever, like the only one and everyone else was seated because it was the movie theater. It wasn't a concert. And I look back.
But people
and I'm
were saying, screaming, right?
People so were yelling.
Yelling.
Like people were very excited.
Yes.
And I think like the guys were maybe a little tipsy. Like I think they had some drinks or something because they were like really loose, but they had the thongs over their jeans and they like, I don't know, were taking them off, but I was screaming like I was at a concert, like a 12-year-old girl.
I love that for you. It was like, no strings attached. Down, down, down.
So I've never been more excited in my life. And I just look back and all my friends are like, oh my God.
They're like, what is he doing?
How would I not, though? How could you not do that?
No, I would immediately have gotten up and ran.
I know. It was way too exciting. Workaholics. Do you miss Workaholics? I love that show, too.
Yeah, that was so much fun
to do. I'm jumping all over the place.
No, you're great. Let's jump. Yeah. Let's jump around. Yeah, I feel like I actually see those guys more now than I did when we were shooting.
That's good,
which is really funny.
I feel like it's apt for like jumping back in every once in a while. Does that make sense? Like I would love that.
Like another season randomly?
Yeah, like a 6 episode or something.
Yeah, yeah. This time on like Netflix because it's like Arrested Development or something.
Oh yeah, but not Arrested Development was, the reboot was a little rough, I thought.
No, like this. A little rough. And then it gets quiet.
I don't want them listening. I also loved The Night Before.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like I noticed last Christmas, I think it was FX or TNT was doing like a 24-hour marathon of it.
They did?
They did, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so excited about that. That's my goal in life is to have a movie that plays around the holidays. And also like
it will.
Halloween.
It is.
Halloween yeah. would be exciting.
Halloween would be so exciting.
To have something.
You said you wanted to play a witch, right?
Desperately.
What kind of witch do you want to
play? I don't even care. It can be Hocus Pocus type, you know, PG. It could be the witch. A24 is the witch. It could be. I just heard that
Practical Magic,
yes, mm-hmm. is doing a prequel, but it's a series.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it. I loved Practical Magic. It was fantastic.
I would love to
it's
be
good.
In that.
You should do that. They it's based off the book, which I read, Rules of Magic. So it's like a prequel about the young... Do you remember Practical Magic, like the ants?
Yes.
Diane Wiest.
And, yes.
Yeah, so it's like about
and
them
Stockard
as younger.
Channing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, come on, these women. Who's your favorite?
My favorite witch?
Yeah. No, I was going to say your favorite woman.
Yeah. Well, that's what I call women, you know I mean? Witches, yeah, in a great way.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton.
Diane's the number one.
I like all the Dianes. I like Diane Wiest.
Mm-hmm. Diane von Furstenberg.
Catherine O'Hara. Coolidge.
Have you worked with?
I don't think we've ever worked together. No, because I saw her. I was shooting something on a lot where I was going to say Big Bang Theory. The girls. Broke Girls. Two Broke Girls was
right.
shooting. And the cast of that pulled up on a golf cart and she was on the back and everybody was so excited to meet the girls. And I was like, hi, Jennifer Coolidge. I love you so much. I adore
amazing.
Her.
She's amazing. I just recently watched on YouTube, there's an interview where Jennifer Coolidge and Catherine O'Hara interview each other.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. It was called Unscripted, maybe. It was like when they did the junket for that For Your Consideration movie.
Yes.
But it's like 6 minutes of pure bliss. It's just those two
Will you
talking.
Send it to
yeah,
me?
I'll send it to you. It's just, okay. It's pure happiness.
That's up my alley.
What do you watch on TV?
I watch Dateline NBC. I watch Impractical Jokers. That's a big one in my house. We really like those guys. I also love Songland. That's a new show that I'm into. But yeah, those are like my favorites.
Okay, I have some like miscellaneous pop culture questions, which I've been asking you anyway already. But
love it.
You wrote Ryder Strong a letter from Boy Meets World.
I did
my research.
Yes.
So tell me about this letter. Ryder Strong played Sean on Boy Meets World.
Yes, and he had the perfect flop hair. I was just so in love with him. I thought he was everything.
Dreamboat.
He was dreamy. So I wrote him a letter. I have no idea what I said, but I'm sure I just said like, you're cool. What's up with the arrow that's up instead of saying up?
Yeah.
And how's it going? And then I sent it and I got a letter or a postcard back of him just like laying on the ground, like sort of like Burt Reynolds, but not naked. And in like a silver Sharpie, he signed it and wrote like, keep it cool. Or
what
like,
a moment.
How's it going?
What a moment.
Yeah.
Green Eggs and Ham on Netflix. You're doing that. Can
yes.
you tell me a little bit about it?
Do you know that I found out Diane Keaton is also in it?
Oh
so
my
I like
God.
To say that we've worked together now.
Yeah.
But we've never met.
It doesn't matter. Maybe on the press for it or something.
I think if I got to meet her, I would freak out so hard and I would immediately just check out if she was wearing that belt that's like five times the size of a normal belt.
She always has
she
a belt.
She always right. has a cool
belt. And
belt.
A tie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always wearing so many layers and is in all black. I love her.
What's your favorite Diane movie?
Oh, great question.
I was just watching Something's Gotta Give the other day.
Something's
and it's
Gotta
so
Give
good.
Is one of my favorite movies.
So good.
It's gotta be that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, although Baby Boom as well is unreal. She's so good in that.
Mm-hmm.
She's physically very funny in that movie.
In Something's Gotta Give, she's with Keanu.
Yes.
And you're doing Bill and Ted's.
I just
what a
shot
good shift.
It.
How was that?
That was a good shift. It was great. It was. I was there for their first day of the first shot that they were in. So it was like them getting back into character.
Oh my
and
God.
Watching them rehearse together was so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching actors running lines, but it's Bill and Ted.
I know. That's crazy.
There was a moment where Keanu says a line to me and I was like, that's your line. That's you. You have to say something.
<That's your laughs>
and
line.
I was like,
I love him.
Amazing.
He seems like a gem too, like a Channing Tatum type where he's just nice.
Totally.
And I like that.
He's so like shy and sweet and mysterious.
Yeah. Rough Night, iconic cast.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a favorite memory?
You know, we shot in that house that was like all white, like even the walls, the floor, everything was white. And after a while and the windows were blacked out. So we could never tell. It was like being in a casino all day long. So at the end of shooting that, we started singing a song. I don't remember who started it, but one of us was just going, never coming back, never coming back. Never coming back. Yeah, yeah. And then we all were singing it together. And the amount of singing we did on this film, we just kept talking about how the crew must hate us.
It's so funny, though. And I mean, all of you women in that movie are just the funniest people ever. That scene where they're like, let's get rid of the drugs, and you do the cocaine, like, just makes me belly laugh.
Thank you.
Okay, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm running through your greatest hits.
That's my second job.
Yeah. What, when they give you that outline, how much of it is in the outline, character?
They say, like, even for the audition, it was just like, you're Larry David's assistant, and he wants to talk to you about the length of your shirt, because your shirt is too high. And then I went in there, and I didn't know Larry David was going to be in the audition, so I freaked out. But, you know, that's about as much as you get. Or there was a scene where I had to tell them I'm quitting my job, and I'm getting a van, going on the road, and talking about this miracle that I witnessed, because Jesus was crying in it. So it was all of that information plus like four more things, but they tell you after the cameras are already up. So you just have to try to, they're like, you got it? And you're like, yeah. And then you walk right in and you do it. Ugh. So it's a little bit of information.
I feel like it's such a memorable episode of that show. It's so, so good.
Thank you.
Okay. Lightning round.
Oh,
it doesn't have to be super fast, but
thank you.
Brittany or Christina?
Christina.
Favorite childhood cartoon?
Doug?
Classic. Yeah. Was Doug and Brittany Runs?
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed that. Did you play video games as a kid? Did you ever play like Mario?
Some. Yeah. I would play Mario. My sister and I got in a fight about who was going to be Mario and who was going to be Luigi. And she made me be Luigi. So I called the police.
Wait, what?
I called 911.
You called 911?
Yeah.
Wait, tell me that story.
Yeah. I called 911 because I was angry. And then I hung up when they answered because I got so nervous. And then they called back and I said, Brianna, answer the phone. And so she answered the phone. And they said, you just called our house. And she was nervous, so she hung up. And then they came to the house and then talked to us about when to call 911 and when to not.
How old were you?
Oh, kids. You're
like 18.
Yeah, it was last year. No, we were babies. I must have been like, we're 5 years apart. So either way, you were probably older. Like 4 and 9, maybe.
Video.
That's the only way that can make sense. Because if I'm like 6 or 7, you were like 12 or 13, and that makes it really messed up.
Dark. Yeah, that's darker. I remember my brother Brian. He would get so mad when we would play, and I would be beating him, and he would like unplug my controller. Like, I mean, it really video games as a kid, it's siblings brings out the worst in each other.
Do you remember the one where you had the mat and you'd be running and then jumping over the hurdles, and then the duck one where you'd be shooting all the ducks? Duck hunt.
And that mat one never really worked.
No, the mat one never worked.
It was like you were just running, but it never once worked.
No.
It was like,
no, you would be like, you'd jump and land, and the thing was like still in the air for like 4 more seconds. You're like, oh.
You're like, I land.
I landed.
And there was like a handgun or like,
yes,
like a glove you would put. The glove. Super glove or something. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, my friend had the glove. I didn't have the glove. The glove was fancy.
I didn't have it either, but the rich neighbors did.
Yeah, it was always the rich neighbors had the glove.
They had the glove, they had the mat.
And the good sodas.
The good sodas and the, I remember my rich friend had the Cheeto puffs. Like my mom.
Oh, yeah, no, we never had the Cheeto puffs. No, my mom was like, here's cantaloupe. And I was like,
get away from me. Cheeto puffs. There was like,
yeah, she's like, here's a Cheeto puff. And it was just
orange dust. It was just orange
cantaloupe.
Dust. Piece of styrofoam covered in orange dust.
Did you have a treat drawer that you
no,
couldn't go in?
No, we didn't have a treat drawer.
Oh.
No, we were poor.
I'm
trying to think of like what our treats were. I don't remember there being like any.
Yeah, do you remember your after school snacks?
I remember. I mean, I was so jealous of the kids who had Dunkaroos.
Oh yeah, Dunkaroos
and Gushers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gushers were like the big one.
The green like.
And I buy those now. I think there's some in my cupboard.
Oh yeah, because it makes you feel alive.
Like, yeah, now I feel good about myself.
Like you've done it.
Yeah.
Can I ask? Can I tell you one thing? In the middle of your thing, sorry, I'm interrupting,
no. I'm asking you questions about video games, so you're fine.
One of my friends got me a t-shirt that made me laugh so hard, and I feel like you would love it, and I almost brought it today, but I spaced. It's a t-shirt with a still from Sister Act 2. And it's when the woman with the clipboard comes up to them backstage and goes,
take off your robes.
Your teacher says, take off your robes.
A classic moment in film.
And it says, your teacher says, take off your robes.
Oh my God, that's
amazing.
Isn't
that amazing? A great t-shirt?
I have to go get it.
They made it.
I'll make you one. That's amazing. I mean, speaking of siblings, like that was a movie. We had like this ledge. Here, the listeners are like, stop fucking talking about this, Danny, but we had a ledge in our kitchen that we used to sit on as kids. And I remember we would rent Sister Act 2 all the time. Ugh. And my brothers and I would rewatch that end scene, you know, like the musical scene over and over.
I bet we could do the whole thing right now.
100%. Yeah, they did like Janet Jackson in the middle of it. Joyful Lord, we adore thee. Hearts are falling flowers, people.
Oh, hearts are full like flowers.
That movie is just a classic.
Oh, it's so good.
I had Jennifer Love Hewitt on the show, and it was just like,
How was that?
10 questions about Sister Act 2, and it was, she's like, I'm barely in it. She's just in the background. I'm like, I need to know everything.
How baggy were all the pants you tried on for that film?
I was really curious if they like recorded, you know, because she was just in the chorus. I was like, did you go to the recording studio and record? And they did. Yeah. Okay, let's see, where am I at? Fran Drescher, thoughts?
Oh man, I love her.
I love her.
And I met her recently.
What?
Yeah, at like a,
how was she?
Like a upfronts party. And I was just like, I just adore you. And she was like, thank you. I can't do it, but you know.
Thank you, Mr. Sheffield.
Yeah, she said, Mr. Sheffield. And I go, oh, then thank you. What if that's all she says?
That's all she says. Mr. Sheffield. I'm watching that for the first time, and I'm just obsessed.
You had never seen it before?
I'm no.
Oh, the mother, too, is great.
I was very obsessed and with the mother.
Cece, right? Cece's giving us life. That's what I think my mother wishes I look like.
Cece.
Just very straight, curled under hair, like Laura Linney in Primal Fear.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm obsessed with that. You are obsessed with Tim Curry, right?
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about him?
I mean, the list goes on and on.
Clue's your favorite movie?
Clue's my favorite movie of all time. I think he's just done so many different things with his career. He didn't get stuck in one thing. I mean, from like Annie to Clue to like, he's played the devil. I mean, he's played everything.
Yeah.
And Rocky Horror Picture Show, what a bold performance. Right. And I just think he's the tops.
Is there a dream role that you would, aside from you're doing Splash, but is there something that if it was rebooted, it'd be like a dream role?
They are redoing Clue.
Oh my God, you have to do it.
Trust me, I've talked about it in most everything I can. And anyone who knows Ryan Reynolds or the writers or anything, like I've been like, hey, if you feel like putting in a word.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes naturally. Yeah. If it doesn't, don't do it.
I love that. I wish you would do it. People Magazine, Sexiest Man Alive. If you were choosing, who would you choose?
Oh. I mean, it'd probably be Benicio del Toro or like Michael Pitt. Mm. Everyone would be like, oh, okay.
It's a bold choice and I like it.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Jessica or Ashley Simpson?
I need to talk to you about your Jessica Thursdays. They make my life. Has she seen them?
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. I don't think she knows.
Is it better that way? Because you really do nail what's great about each clip.
I ride the line a little bit where it's like, you know, I think they could be interpretive many different ways.
Sure.
But I do love her. And there's this rumor that she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And I'm obsessed with that. And like, if I never watch Dancing with the Stars regularly, but if she's on it, like,
I'm going to watch it.
But I just find she's like this weird thing that unites everyone. Like, I've noticed like everyone at one point in their lives has been obsessed with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, straight men. Like, when she was doing Dukes of Hazzard, like, all the straight guys were like, I love Jessica Simpson.
That's true.
Women, when newlyweds, gay men, like, during her pop career, it's like, we've all sort of, it's this one person that I find that has united us all. And it's so funny, I do these Jessica Simpson Thursday posts, and like, the comments.
Never let them in.
I'm never.
Do you have plenty stocked up to, like, post for many years to come?
I've realized that there is an endless amount of Jessica Simpson, and she's had so many shifts in her career.
That photographer one was the most offensive thing I've ever seen.
Wait, with the thumb. I know. She didn't want the photographer with the thumb. I know, and it's shocking that aired. Like, I mean,
it was a different time, I guess, but still, I think someone should have looked out and said, maybe don't put that part in.
And then they show her, like, later at that photo shoot, you can tell she's like kind of like looking at the guy's thumb a little bit. Like she, oh, I mean, it's like very subtle, but if you watch it, yeah, you can see her just like checking out his thumb.
I have to pick Jessica. I have to pick her.
I mean, she's classic. I really want to start an Ash Wednesday.
How have you not started this?
I kind of like dip my toe in, but it's like a big commitment. I'm like, I don't know if I want to commit.
I've noticed that Ashley does certain looks when she does her red carpet. It's very, have you noticed that?
I don't think I've noticed it.
Oh, she's very good at it. She gets like all the angles because it's hard sometimes to figure out like what to do to smile or be serious, but she kind of goes back and forth kind of quickly and it's very sweet.
She is wild. And I just rewatched her MTV pilot, like the Ashley Simpson show, the pilot. I rewatched it and it is the most bizarre television I've ever seen. It moves at a mile a minute. And there's like clips, again, stuff that wouldn't be shown today. Like she's talking on her cell phone in the car as she's driving. Like, I'm a terrible driver. And she's just like,
oh, right. You posted that one.
And then it's just like, there's so much stuff that is so bizarre.
I just like to picture that in between each moment, like from her driving in the car to landing in the studio, it just goes pieces of me. And then
May.
Oh, the little drummer boy. That was my favorite one.
They both do that like kind of.
That's what I would do if I was a singer.
I mean, what a weird time in history, though. Like, Jessica and Nick did a variety hour. They're not comedians.
That's right.
They're not.
My favorite was the one also that you posted where it was them doing, like, their funny back and forth at the award show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, what a weird thing.
And they're like, what? What's your rapper name? I know. Yeah.
See, Britney runs a marathon. No, but they were hired for the, I don't know if it was Billboard or something.
Yeah.
To just do commentary like fucking Statler and Waldorf or whatever their names are. The Muppets.
The Muppets.
That's what they were doing. And it was like so poorly written. But
they were like, have you ever had a sandwich, honey? You know I have. And back in a second with Nelly.
And they were offensive. It was like, Pink might be a lesbian. We're coming back with Chingy. It's like, what? Like, what are we doing here? It was like the most bizarre shifts.
Who was writing the little segments?
It was so offensive. There was one where it was like they alluded to Pink being a lesbian and then it's like, here comes Chingy. And it was just, it was crazy. What's your favorite NSYNC song?
Oh, wow. That's the hardest question ever received.
Huge NSYNC fan.
I mean, you know what? I think there's one on their Christmas album that's actually my favorite. Mm. It's the one.
Not the Rosie O'Donnell duet.
No. Not the
Another
Rosie.
Weird moment in time.
There was also the Gloria Estefan.
Rosie O'Donnell has two albums. She has two albums.
Two albums?
She has two holiday albums. And one, yeah, she did a duet with Gloria Estefan.
Do you remember she would just have Tom Cruise on over and over again? And then Scott Wolf being like, he's the young Tom Cruise.
He's almost there. Yeah.
And then she would slingshot at the camera. And then we'd be like, keep it coming, Rosie. We loved it.
Jillian, I have the Rosie O'Doll in my office.
No, you don't.
I swear to God, that's she. And the Koosh balls. Like I have
you
the
do?
Yeah. I ordered off eBay recently. Because I was obsessed with the Rosie O'Donnell show as a kid. Like, obsessed with it. And yeah, I loved it. I mean, the Tom Cruise obsession was so bizarre. And I loved how she would just do, Tommy, can you hear me? I mean,
there was so much.
Wait, so the NSYNC song is probably.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how it went right now. My brain is thinking of all of them.
Music of my heart.
Oh, music of
Gloria
my heart.
Estefan you were talking about.
Yeah, okay, it's not Music of My Heart, though.
I think they, since Justin doesn't want to do the reunion.
Why?
I agree. But I think they should replace him with Gloria. Don't you think?
Oh,
she's a lead vocalist.
Gosh.
She's worked with them before.
She's like, come on, do that conga. Bye, bye.
They could do mashups just like that.
They could.
It would be phenomenal.
Coming out of the dark.
When she had that bus accident.
And they're like, sailing takes me away.
Her dramatic performance of that. Aww. Coming out of the dark. That's a grocery store anthem. Like
when it is a grocery
when I hear
store
it
anthem.
In the grocery aisle, it's a great time.
Makes me want to go to the grocery store for the first time.
They play the best music there. The best music. Favorite Mariah Carey song?
Oh.
I make every guest answer this one.
No, these are really tough for me because I love so many. I mean, The Christmas. I'm picking all the Christmas songs.
That's okay. You're a holiday lover.
I do love the holidays.
I love the
holidays. But I also, what was the one I sang? I sang one of her songs to audition for Jesus Christ Superstar in high school. And I'm not a singer.
Wait, what song did you sing?
Like
Vision of Love, or was it a ballad?
Was it a vision? Yeah. Yeah.
It was a ballad.
It was a vision of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and I was like, God. And it was all that you give me. I was just like pretending I could do the riffs that she could do.
Stop it.
My theater teacher must have been like, in what world?
Don't you wish, like, I wish I could go back in time and like see like high school theater auditions.
Yes.
I feel like it'd be so funny because we all did ridiculous things like that.
There was a workshop we did where we had a musical director come in and they would work with us on how to audition for musicals. And so all of us had to get up there and sing a song, and people sang from like big musicals, and I chose a song from Anastasia.
Sure.
As you do.
As one does.
When you're 18.
An underrated animated film.
It makes me so happy. But I remember being so quiet, being like, dancing bears, painted wings.
And they're
like,
speak up, Jill.
They're like louder, and I'm like, things I almost... I'm like, you didn't want that.
Oh my God. Yeah. You're asking for something you don't want.
Dude, what musicals did you do in high school?
Well, I remember, I'm just thinking of when I was in choir, I was given a solo for that. We were doing that Mulan song.
Oh.
I'll Make a Man Out of You. And they took my solo away right before the performance because I have a terrible voice. But
do you remember the words?
Yeah. It was Say Goodbye to Those Who Knew Me. Right? That sounded good.
I
hit it.
Yeah.
Well, they apparently didn't think it was good enough. And I just recently re-listened to the song. Uh-huh. And so in the song, it's like the different animated characters are doing that part of the song. So in the song, it's this really gruff voice being like, say goodbye to those who knew me. And I'm thinking, I wasn't good enough to sing that. Like, I don't know why they took it away. It was like a last minute. I remember the choir teachers who were like, you know, Danny, we're going to give it to someone else. And I was devastated.
Let's find them.
I know.
Let's find them.
You know what? They can rot in hell. They can rot in hell. Let's take a quick break here and then we'll come right back and finish this up. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. What is your favorite store to shop at? Like, do you like a Target, a Home Goods, a Macy's? Like, is there one place that you feel at peace?
There's so many places. My family loves a mall because I'm from Las Vegas. We're from Las Vegas, so we like to be in air conditioned places. So we go to Bloomingdale's a lot.
Classic store.
It's a way for us to feel fancy.
Sure. Did you have an AOL Instant Messenger screen name?
Yes, but what was it? I think mine was just like Justin Lover 84. Like, I was very obsessed with Justin Randall Timberlake.
Okay, I'm going to wrap this up, but on a scale from 1 to 10, how likely are you to buy a fall candle? Like a pumpkin spice, a cinnamon.
You know what? I'm going to say like a 4, and here's where I'm at. I don't love those ones. I feel, you know what I would buy?
That's a wrap.
Wait, don't cut me off here. I love the ones that smell like a pine tree or like a Christmas tree. I don't love the like sweet smelling like snickerdoodle. Mm. There's cookies in the oven or Santa's been shot and here's what his blood smells like.
That's a new one. Bath and Body Works 2019.
Yeah. Yeah.
Present company excluded. Do you really actually think men can be funny? Because I don't.
You don't?
I don't. Very few.
You don't have a movie where you liked men in it? You thought they were funny?
No. Maybe Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell does make me laugh a lot.
I love you.
I find him like very funny. But overall, I just think women are funnier. I think they're the funnier species, and I'm tired of it.
I'm, you know what? I go back and watch like a lot of the 80s and 90s comedies with female casts, and they make me happier than most comedies, especially nowadays. I want my comedies to be like the 80s and 90s. Right.
Even when I was seeing shows with the Groundlings, it was like, I always was attracted to people like you and Michaela Watkins, who's in Britney Runs a Marathon.
Yes.
It was like, those are the people I was looking at on stage. Not to say that some of the men weren't funny, but it was like, that's who I liked. I wanted to see more of. Anyway, Neon Witch is your clothing line.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
My sister and I started it together and we just wanted something, something that wasn't out there yet. I sort of wanted to rock the fact that I have anxiety and sometimes it's crippling and rock it in a fun, fashionable way. And so we thought it would be funny and a way of owning it to put it on a t-shirt and put it with like a fabulous sunset with a dolphin jumping.
I love it so much. And there's ones that say depression. I mean, I suffer from anxiety, depression too. And it's like, I think any way we can all talk about it, take away the stigma of it is like a good thing.
And then we have other shirts on there too that are like, cause I love falling asleep to murder shows. So, so we have a woman who's sleeping very peacefully while murder shows are on in the background.
Ah, that's so good.
But
Jillian, Britney Runs a Marathon is in theaters now. What do you hope people take away from this movie?
I hope people take away, God, so many things, that it can be hard to make that first step. But if you can do something that's fully just for you, it can be beautiful. That bodies are beautiful at all sizes. That if you're in a toxic relationship or a friendship, get out of that. Right. Life is too short.
Right.
But yeah, those are the big ones.
Truly, I'm not just saying this because you're here. It was my favorite movie this year. I thought it was so, so well done, so beautiful. Tears constantly throughout it, but in the best way and for all different reasons. And I encourage everyone to see it. And I think if you're thinking about it, so often I think with movies that deal with weight or with something even kind of related to weight, like I think of Shallow Hal or something, there's often moments where we cringe. And I was so incredibly impressed that it was handled so perfectly and beautifully. And I think if anyone's on the fence or if they're worried it's going to be something like where you feel bad about yourself, or I promise, like, it's so good, you'll leave feeling inspired to just kick ass.
Thank you,
Jillian,
thank
so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here. I adore you.
I'm so thrilled. Oh, thank you, Jillian. I love you so, so much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.